Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The importance of waiting. This is not emphasizing the idea of impatience, but the grand reality of waiting in life. You may as well get used to it because it's an important part of life. You wait. We wait at doctor's offices. We wait for babies to be born. We wait for our bodies to heal. We wait at traffic lights. We wait at traffic lights for people texting. We wait at checkout lines. We wait at beauty and barber shops. We wait at the bank. We wait for income tax refunds. We wait for seats at a restaurant. We wait for the repairman to arrive. We wait for new clothes to be altered. We wait for meals to be ready. We wait for special events to come. We wait for things that bring us joy. We wait for hard times to end. We wait to truly learn a subject or a skill. We wait for medical test results. We wait for plants to grow. We wait for our house to be built. You wait for your house to close or be ready for occupancy. You wait for packages to be delivered. You wait for your gas tank to fill. You wait for rain to come. You wait for rain to stop. You wait for morning to come, and you wait for Friday. And you do it all over again. And we don't like to wait, as a general rule, right? We like to get things checked off the list and move on. But life doesn't always work that way. And it's easy to get irritated by waiting. We have things to do, and I don't know about you, I work off of a to-do list. If you were to look down my list of things to do, it doesn't say, wait. That's never occurred to me to put that on my to-do list. But it's saturated through my whole to-do list, because I can't do this, because I got to do that. And it goes on. Now, sometimes we don't mind waiting. One time a warden asked a man on death row what he would like to eat for his last meal. The inmate said, I would like to have a huge piece of watermelon. Watermelons aren't due at this time of year. They've not even been planted, let alone harvested. The inmate said, I don't mind waiting. I want us to think about some waiting in the Bible. We all know the story, familiar with the idea that children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. They cried for deliverance. God heard their cry, so what did he do? He picked Moses and said, now go out in the wilderness for 40 more years till you're ready. They didn't want to wait anymore. How about when we read the story of Samson? The children of Israel were under the bondage of the Philistines. They cried for deliverance. So what did God do? He had a baby born. Samson. And it's going to take him years to grow up. They waited. They didn't have a choice. For hundreds of years, people waited for the promised Messiah. Today, we wait for the rapture. Yet through it all, God is never early nor late. He's always right on time. Now, sometimes we think he's late. We would never come out usually and say that. God, you're too late. Maybe we do, but he knows best. Let us not get ahead of God. That's one of the worst things we can do. Wait for God. He knows best. And for some reason, he chooses many times, wait. Just wait. I haven't forgotten you. You're not lost in a paperwork mess. Relax. Quote, in the charming little booklet, Expectation Corner, Adam Sloman was led into the Lord's treasure houses. And among other wonders, there revealed to him was the delayed blessings office, where God kept certain things prayed for until the time came to send them. Takes a long time for some petitioners to learn that delays are not denials. There are secrets of love and wisdom in the delayed blessings department, which are little dreamed of. men would pluck their mercies green when the Lord would have them ripe. Consider Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious. He's got a bigger blessing. Do you want it now? Or do you want it when it's full? And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And he finishes this with, God's plans are like lilies, pure and white, unfold. We must not tear the close-shut leaves apart. Time will reveal the calyxes of gold. Tear apart a flower before it's ready, and you've missed the blessing. Oh, the importance of waiting. Wait! I don't want to wait. Wait. It can be a heavy burden sometimes. Oh, Lord, take this away. You know, it's not wrong to cry unto God. The children of Israel cried unto God, and God never rebuked them. He knew that the burden of Egypt was heavy. And he said to Moses, I have heard their cry. Waiting on God is so important. I want you to consider some people from Scripture. We're going to read from the Psalms here a few verses. Psalm 6:3, my soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? You ever said that before? O Lord, how long? Chapter 13, verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me? That's great. The psalmist knew God didn't academically, he knew God didn't forget him. And if you read on in that psalm, you see that he gets his thinking back on track. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Well, sometimes it does seem like God is hiding and he's forgotten us, but he hasn't. Give it time, even throughout the years, and you look back on your life and God was there. Even at times where you weren't seeking his face, he was there. 35, verse 17, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Are you just going to keep looking at all this and not do anything, dear God? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. Lord, don't you see how bad this is? You know, sometimes you read the psalmist, and he gets it off his chest. You know, you may as well tell God the truth because he knows it already. Dear God, I can't take this another day without you. And God says, hang in there. I really do know what I'm doing. 74:10. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? How long? Oh God, how long? Psalm 89:46, how long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? 94:3, Lord, how long shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquities boast themselves? There are times when we do struggle under the weight of waiting. Dear God, I can't take it. Lay it before him. Keep putting one foot in front of another. Count your many blessings and hang in there. We must take heart knowing that God's delays and our subsequent waiting have purpose. God is always up to something good. Remember this, in all of its simplicity, God can only do good. Even when he punishes, he's doing good for the cause of righteousness. God has not forgotten you, although sometimes we feel like it. He is up to something good. We may not realize it until we stand in eternity. But in that day, we're going to be so glad we hung in there and we waited for God. Often God's purposes demand delay and waiting. We are not just another creature. We have been given the breath of life. We are made in the image of God, and He has specific purpose to worship and fellowship Him. We do have purpose beyond the animals. And when you really stop and think about what God wants, those things take time. Therefore, we must wait. Our lives require time for God to bring to pass His eternally valuable plans and purposes. You see, our lives go beyond ourselves and they go beyond our little corner of the world. Even though many people every day pass into eternity, they still influence this world. My wife's reading a book right now, a biography of a missionary that I never heard of and yet had a tremendous impact on the people of China. Many of God's saints we don't know about, but God does. I don't think that dear lady got the recognition that she was going to get in heaven because we didn't appreciate it. It didn't last beyond her life, per se, as far as what she was doing. The results are still there. The impact is still there, but her name isn't. God's plans, therefore, are such that they take time. Therefore, we are to wait and let Him work. Quote, delay then tends to become more marked. The higher you rise in the Creator's purposes, great delays in the mystery of providence are the highway for the chariot of great blessing. The joy that cometh in the morning might be far less thrilling had not the weeping from which it springs endured all night. Don't give up when you're waiting. God is up to something good. Let's consider some people in the Bible who appreciated, maybe not at the time, but afterwards, the importance of waiting. Lazarus. Jesus was summoned while this man lay on his deathbed. John 11:6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick. That's Jesus. When Jesus had heard that he, Lazarus, was sick, Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Mary and Martha had sent, particularly Martha, had sent for Jesus. He got the news, and he waited 2 days. Here they are having great trust. Oh God, here is an immediate need. He abode 2 days still. He made a conscious effort to delay. There's no mistake here. Let's go to verse 17 of John 11. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. He died. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs long, not that far. And many of the Jews came from Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Your delay caused this. 22, but I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. In other words, I know I've given up hope he's not going to live again on earth. I've got that out of my prayer request. He's dead. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And yes, I know, I'll see him in eternity. Read again, 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way, called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master comes, and he calls for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly, came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Kind of interesting, he sounds like he's still delaying. Would you get in here? 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Martha and Mary both blamed the delay of Jesus. I mean, we still believe in you. But this awful situation has occurred because you didn't act soon enough. Did you know Jesus had purpose in that great delay? Look at verse 14 of John 11. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? The intent was you might believe. I did it on purpose. He died because I'm trying to teach you something. Let's go unto him. Quote, had Jesus forgotten Martha and Mary? We see this very clearly in the raising of Lazarus, that tenderest and most touching of all miracles. When Lazarus was ill, when his state had become critical, Martha and Mary, you remember, sent word to Jesus. Now Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, and the happiest memories encircled that village home. Yet the gospel tells us when Jesus heard the news, he abode 2 days still in the place where he was. There are seasons when 2 days seem like a moment. There are seasons when 2 days seem like eternity. When a life is in the balance, half an hour is endless. Twice 4 and 20 hours is unbearable. What did it mean? Had Jesus quite forgotten them? Was he deaf and dead to the prayers of the sisters' love? I think that Martha and Mary, with their eyes on dying Lazarus, knew the burden of divine delay. They knew its burden then. They know its meaning now. They see it irradiated with purpose and with wisdom. A little boon might have been granted instantly, but the great actions of God have tardy wheels. The greater and richer the blessing that we pray for, the more must we reckon the delays of God. Nor should we forget, for this is very important, what I might call the moral training of delay. Did we get everything we crave for in the hour we ask of it? I think it would be a long farewell to manhood. The one sure way to ruin a child is to give immediately all for which it asks. Learn to wait. This delay gave the opportunity to increase the faith of the disciples and Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. Again, John 11:14. Then said Jesus unto them, the disciples, plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, because I have an intent, and that is that you should believe. Nevertheless, let us go, because I want you to see that he really is alive. I'm going to prove this to strengthen your faith. There was purpose in the delay. Our waiting is not in vain because God is always up to something good. How about this one? The woman of Cana, Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Does everybody feel that sometime or another you prayed and there wasn't a word? Did you hear me? And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. Boy, here's Christian comfort. Get this lady out of here. He answered her not a word. The disciples, Send her away. She crieth after us. If she can't get you, now she's pestering us. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep, but to the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. One delay after another. Now, these are kind of a rapid fire. That God is not only just not answering, he's contradicting her, making it hard. 26, but he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That woman was greatly being tested. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. She hung in there. She didn't quit. Well, I'm done with this group. And you miserable disciples, I hope I never see you again. I'm out of here. She didn't do that. She hung in there and waited. Yes, she continued pleading with the Lord. Today we do that through prayer, but you don't give up. 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. She got what she wanted because she waited. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He answered her not a word. He talked to her about dogs. Now in the Greek, Jesus was having a bad day. No, Jesus wasn't having a bad day. Jesus is always up to something good. He was trying her faith, and her faith held that Jesus was still the answer. She was a better person for the trial that she went through, and I believe too the disciples were when they saw it. Do you think it was cruel for Christ to not answer even a word? No, because he was desperately trying her faith and exercising it. And it works to our good as we study her experience even today. Do you think she had any clue, this woman of Canaan? Hey, they're going to study me for the next 2,000 years about righteousness. She had no idea. Folks, we have no idea what God's up to. You have no idea who you may be touching in your life. Trials are very real. James 1:3, know this, the trying of your faith. Faith in what? The Bible tells us there's only one thing to put your faith in, and that's God. The trying of your faith works patience. It is so important to learn to wait. And you do realize in our illustrations, who is trying the psalmist? Who tried the woman of Canaan? God did. He intentionally withheld because it was going to build their very faith in him. Quote, work reveals character, but so does waiting. Waiting shows the baby or the man. We need to be tested to prove if we be worthy just to receive and use the thing we crave. So, it often is that God delays and will not answer us, but he keeps us waiting. It is not in scorn, but in the wisest of love that he will not for a while. You see, God is always at work behind the scenes. While we're waiting, we may not see it, but God is surely at work. He's always up to something good. He has not forgotten us, and he's up to something good. and we can't see it. We have to go with the eye of faith. Lord, you can tell him you're confused. He already knows it. I don't get it. He already knows it. And sometimes, Lord, it's hard. He already knows that too. But Lord, I bring the matter to you again that you work it out because I can't. And what do you do in the meantime? Do the obvious. Every morning, get up and take up your life that God gave you and do it faithfully. And watch God bless. He does hear the cry of his people and he does answer. Quote, do not lose heart at the delays of God. Speed, after all, is a relative term. And there is more love in God's slow method than you think. The commentary says this, I was staying the other week with some friends in Ireland when word came that our friend's place of business had been broken into. It was a holiday and he was away in Galway and was not to be home again until the evening. Well, he came home very tired and famished, and a foolish wife would have rushed out to meet him with the news. But his wife was not foolish, and she let him wash and eat, rest himself a little. And then, when he was ready to see things rightly, she broke the news, and I saw there was wisdom and love in that delay. You who are mothers, and look back on those sweet years when your innocent children played about your feet, had you never some great news to tell your children, yet you deliberately withheld it for a time? If we tell them tonight, there won't be one wink of sleep. If we tell them when they waken, there will not be one bite of breakfast. And so deliberately you hold back the blessing, and you did it just because you love them. If you then, being evil, act like that, is it incredible that God should do the same? Is it fair to distrust our Father, to say he has no pity, to charge the heavens with being brass above us? I think it's wiser to pray on, strive on, casting all doubts to the devil who inspired them, believing in a love that never mocks us and that will give us our heart's desire in his time. Consider Themistocles. Themistocles, who led the Greeks in the infamous naval battle of Salamis, delayed the engagement. It was expected that he would avail himself on the early morning hours, and when what seemed a golden opportunity had gone in inactivity. There were not a few who were ready to suspect him of being a traitor to his country. But he was waiting for the land breeze, which he knew would begin to blow about 9 o'clock in the morning. He proposed to harness the very winds of his war galleys and make them waft his boats to sea and so save the strength of his men for the fighting. And so those who would have been the only rowers became warriors. Blessed is he, for power from on high thus finds himself able to use in the proper work of God energies that would be otherwise exhausted and useless pursuits. Wait! Wait! Look beyond the waiting. Remember God's in it. Life is filled with waiting. And there are blessings that are to be had. Whatever you're waiting for will pass one way or another. You may have to wait until eternity, but eventually God will bring it to pass. Somehow, some way. See eternity and realize this world will pass away. Let's not get ahead of God. Let's not open doors that God has closed. Let us not close doors that God has opened. And when God has not sent an answer to your prayer, that's the answer. Don't do anything. I just don't know what to do. God hasn't told me what to do. Yes, he did. Do you hear the silence? That's the answer. But how many times do we get impatient? He should have answered by now, so I'm going to handle this. And we make a mess. The next time you pray, which I'm sure will be today and tomorrow and the next day, for many things, and some of those things have been on the list for a long time, and there's no answer. That is the answer. Don't do anything. A major disaster occurred in England's mines some years ago, which took the lives of 40 miners. Loved ones gathered around the entrance of the mines, agonizing for a word of hope. Someone asked Bishop Edward Stanley to speak a word of encouragement to those families, and this is what he said. We stand today in the face of mystery, but I want to tell you something I have at home. It's a bookmark, embroidered in silk by my mother and given to me many years ago. On one side, the threads are crossed and recrossed in wild confusions, and looking at it, you would think it had been done by someone with no idea of what he was doing. But when I turn it over, I see the words that are beautifully worked into the silken threads. God is love. Now we are looking at this tragedy from one side, and it does not make sense. Someday we shall be permitted to read the meaning of it from the other side. Meanwhile, let us wait and trust. How long do you wait? Until God reveals his will. That may take days and it may take years. Every human being that has died has left things undone. That's the grand reality. When I die, no one's going to run for my to-do list. If iPhones are still around when I die, they will take it. They will hit the reset button and start again. This is the reality of life. We must realize that God is working for righteousness and he wants us to be spiritual people. He wants us to learn to wait. I want you to think about this. God doesn't want to wait for you to trust Jesus as Savior. The waiting that we have discussed today is a Christian waiting on God to reveal his purposes and plans and the next step. But the grand reality is, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, there ought to be no delay, there ought to be no waiting. Let that hand represent you. I don't ever want to take it for granted in this room that everyone knows Christ. Are you listening? Let this represent you and let this represent sin. God loves you, but he hates the sin. Oh, how many times people think God hates sinners. God hates the sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. Matter of fact, he loves the sinner so much that he made the way possible for sinners to go to heaven. You see, there's nothing that we can do in our flesh to get rid of this. The debt is far too great, and we need a Savior. God knows that. He wants you and me to know that, and everybody to know that. That there's nothing that I can do to get rid of this. And let that hand represent Jesus Christ, God in his mercy, God in his grace, sent forth his Son to do what we could never do. He could pay that debt for every person. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life, the innocent for the guilty. He didn't sin, but he was willing to pay the price. And after 3 days, he rose again, proving that he conquered death. And because of his work, we can have eternal life. When you get it, it's not what I do. It's what Jesus did. I don't do part, and he does part. He does it all. For God so loved me, put your name there, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay the sin debt of the world, whosoever, in the Greek that means whosoever, believeth. Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus paid it all? He promises, you will not perish, go to hell. Rather, he promises, you'll have everlasting life. God told those words to Nicodemus as he was seeking truth. Do you think Jesus forgot to tell him anything? I don't think Jesus is up in heaven wringing his hands apologizing to Nicodemus or us. How do you go to heaven? When you get it. It's not my works that save me. It's what Jesus did on the cross. That and only that pays my eternal destiny.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.